Goedemorgen. En dat kan ik met een stralende lach zeggen, want het wordt een geweldige uitzending van Hour of Power. En iedere kijker, jong en oud, van harte welkom. Dominee Tony Campolo spreekt in de Crystal Cathedral. En wat kan die man spreken? Geweldig. Zo enthousiast en zo vol begeistering, zou je het op zijn Duits kunnen zeggen. En hij spreekt over het thema It's Friday, but Sunday is coming. Het is vrijdag, maar zondag komt eraan. Dat heeft alles te maken met de Leidersweken in het leven. En ook het feit dat we naar Pasen toe gaan volgende week. Het feest van de opstanding. Een indrukwekkende preek. En Daniel Rodriguez, de zanger die zoveel keer in Nederland was, zingt het prachtige Via Dolorosa, de lijdensweg die Jezus moest wandelen op weg naar het kruis. Zingen, dat gaan we ook zien vanuit de Crystal Cathedral. En zingen, dat doen we ook in Nederland. Er zijn 16.000 koren en daar ga ik over praten met Maarten Wassink, is dirigent van een aantal koren, en Remco Harms. We kennen hem allemaal van Op jacht naar Jozef. En hij zingt nu in Los Angeles The Voices. Een begaafde zanger. En we zullen hem hopelijk ook horen zingen. Kortom, heel veel te zien in Hour of Power. Ik wens iedereen een hele fijne dienst toe.
If you need a lift today, you've tuned to the right program. Join us today for the best hour on television. The Hour of Power from the Crystal Cathedral.
House of believers. This is the place we come to share our faith, thank God for our faith, or pick it up if we need it picked up. So welcome to the Believer's Hour. This is the day that God has made for you and for me. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Turn around, shake hands with somebody close to you, and give them the blessing. God loves you, and so do I. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for all of these voices, all of these persons, all of these collection of minds and memories and moods that are in this room today. And there is a mixture here that is strong and positive and sweet and beautiful and loving and kind and encouraging. It is your presence, Jesus, living through us. And so this becomes the place of God this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated. Hear these words of Jesus. After this, Jesus went across Lake Galilee. Many people followed him because they saw the miracles he did to heal the sick. Jesus went up on a hill and sat down there with his followers. It was almost the time for the Jewish Passover feast. When Jesus looked up and saw a large crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where can we get enough bread for all these people to eat?" Philip answered, "Someone would have to work almost a year to buy enough bread for each person to have only a little piece." Another one of his followers said, "Here is a boy with 5 loaves of barley bread and 2 little fish, but that's not enough for so many people." Jesus said, "Tell the people to sit down." There was plenty of grass there. And about 5,000 men sat down. And Jesus took the loaves of bread, thanked God for them, and gave them to the people who were sitting there. He did the same with the fish, giving as much as the people wanted. When they had all had enough to eat, Jesus said to his followers, "Gather the leftover pieces of fish and bread so that nothing is wasted." So they gathered up the pieces and filled 12 baskets with the pieces left over from the 5 barley loaves. Praise be to God. Dallas, the founder and CEO of the Church Communication Network, a satellite and internet communications company that serves over 6,000 churches across North America. Today, Bill is here to share how God reached into his life. After graduating from Vanderbilt University with a distinguished degree, he went on into business and made some bad decisions that eventually caused him to lose his thriving real estate business and sent him to San Quentin State Prison. There are prisons and there are prisons and there are prisons, and then there is San Quentin. But during his time in prison, God captured his heart. Now, he's detailed his journey in his new book, Lessons from San Quentin. Everything I needed to know about life I learned in prison. That's the book. Welcome with me, Bill Dallas.
Thank you, Dr. Stiller.
I can see Jesus Christ in your life, but I can't roll it back to find out how you landed in San Quentin for 2.5 years. Could you hear the iron door clang behind you?
I heard it, and I thought I was never going to get out. I'd made some very poor choices prior to being sentenced. I was not a Christ follower. I cut every corner imaginable, and deservedly so, I ended up in San Quentin. But I'd come to know Christ just before I went into prison. But when I went into prison, it was the true test of my faith, and it brought me to my knees literally. I would go down to the prison yard at San Quentin every day, and I would go on the ground, and I would crawl up in a ball in the fetal position, unbathed, unshaven, crying. And this is a believer in Christ, praying to God like Elijah prayed to God under the broom tree, take my life, I've had enough. And I thought I was never going to get out of that prison experience.
You were not born and raised in a heavy Christian environment. When did you become a Christian?
After I'd lost everything in real estate, just before I was about to go to prison, I was in my penthouse. I had all the fancy cars and the clothes and every toy that went with it, and I lived a very wild lifestyle. Well, it was all started being taken away from me because it was all being repossessed and taken. And just before my penthouse was taken, I was there one Sunday night, and I was by myself. And I don't know why, but I felt this emptiness that I'd never felt before in my life. And I dropped to my hands and knees, and I asked Christ into my heart. And I remembered a saying I'd heard when I occasionally go to Young Life when I was in high school, that the leader had mentioned about Blaise Pascal, said that we're all created with a God-shaped vacuum, and until you put God in his rightful place, you will go through your whole life searching to fill that hole with things. Well, I did. You know, I did it with sex, and I did it with money, and I did it with cars, and I did it with career and everything else you can imagine. But it never fulfilled the whole until I asked Christ in my heart. And there began my journey with Christ. But because of so many of the things I'd done in the past, my salvation was secure and my emptiness was now full. But there was things from my past that I knew now I was going to have to deal with, and one of them was my real estate dealings. So a few months later, I ended up getting arrested and then ultimately settled on a situation where I went to San Quentin to serve 2.5 years. So I had the relationship with Christ, but I had a lot of things to deal with. And then I ended up going to San Quentin, and as mentioned, it was the toughest, most difficult time I'd ever experienced in my life. And I thought, as a believer, that I was never going to get out. Because I think sometimes as Christians, we have the relation with Christ, but then when tough times come, we wonder, how do we get through them? I mean, how do we get through it when God, He has saved us, but how does He save us through our difficulties and circumstances? And through a few miraculous things that happened while I was in prison, God was able to not only get me through the experience, but He was able to grow my character and give me strength that I never knew that I had. And I think two of the things that really got me through the process was, one, I was occasionally being encouraged with things that I would read. One of the things, which was amazing, I got a pamphlet from the Possibility Thinking Institute, Dr. Robert Schuller. But the second thing, which God orchestrated, and God orchestrated my mistakes for something good, is He introduced me to a group of lifers, people that had been in prison for 15, 20, 25 years, murderers, kidnappers, and others, who I at first thought, before I went to prison, were the worst of the worst, and there was nothing good to be found in these people. But they had miraculous transformation in prison with Christ, and they were new people, and they became my brothers who grew me and walked me and taught me how to live a Christ life. In fact, one of the reasons why I wrote the book, Lessons from San Quentin, wasn't just so much about my story, it was about their story, about how do you really walk in difficult times, like what's happening today in our economy, what's going on with marriage, and when things are tough, how do you get through it? They showed me that you can get through the toughest of tough times. It may not be a physical prison, it may be the prison of your mind. You can get through it.
Yes.
And when I was told that I was invited to come speak here, two of the inmates, former inmates that actually were in prison for over 20 years, two of my brothers that helped me walk through the most difficult time of my life, paroled just recently, and they live in this area, so I invited them to come today, and they're here actually, sitting right down in front.
Would they stand?
I think they would, and it's Ben Vaughn and V. Lee, two of the greatest men I've ever met in my life. These are men that really understand what it means to walk through the most difficult times of our life and to come out on the other side, not hardened, but have a soft heart, not giving up, but being stronger and ultimately helping others. And, you know, my book, my life is a tribute to men like this.
You're wearing a wedding band. There's a lot of stories behind that, I'm sure. But I didn't realize you were happily married until this morning when I saw the band. Put a tear in my eye. God loves you. So do I. Thank you.
Thank you.
Jerusalem that day. The soldiers tried to clear the narrow street, but the crowd pressed in to see the man condemned to die on Calvary. He was bleeding from a beating. There were stripes upon his back, and he wore a crown of thorns upon his head. And he bore with every step the scorn of those who cried out for his death. Down the Via Dolorosa, called the way of suffering, like a lamb came the Messiah, Christ the King. And he chose to walk that road out of his love for you and me. Down the Via Dolorosa, all the way to Calvary. The blood that would cleanse the souls of all men made its way through the heart of Jerusalem. suffering. Like a lamb came the Messiah, Christ the King. And he chose to walk that road out of his love for you and me. Down the Via Dolorosa, all the way to Calvary. And he came for you and me. Jesus came for
Wat een geweldige stem heeft hij, Daniel Rodriguez. Ook in Nederland zeer geliefd, want hij was een groot aantal keren in ons land en hoopt in mei ook weer op te treden. We kennen hem allemaal als die zingende politieman in dat enorme stadion toen de aanslag op New York werd herdacht. Zingen, dat doen mensen graag en ook christenen. Er zijn zo'n 16.000 koren in Nederland, dat is een enorm aantal. En niet alleen ouderen zingen, maar jongeren zingen ook graag. Daar heb je dirigenten bij nodig, daar heb je liedzangers bij nodig, daar heb je vocals bij nodig. En die hebben we vanmorgen hier allemaal bij Out of Power. Goedemorgen, heren.
Goedemorgen.
Ja, dat was in koor, hè?
Ja.
Ja, ja, dat hebben jullie geleerd natuurlijk. Nee, ja. Maarten Wassink, beroemde dirigent en een even beroemde zanger, Remco Harms. Remco, begin met jou. Van jongs af aan zing je?
Ja. Ik kan me niet anders herinneren dan dat ik op het toneel stond eigenlijk.
Ja.
En ook op verjaardagen zingen voor de visite.
Zo lang zal die leven of iets?
Nou ja, en ook gewoon liedjes van de radio en liedjes opwekking toen begon toen net.
Ja.
En ja, van alles. Ik kan me echt niet anders herinneren dan dat ik naar mensen keek die naar mij keken.
Je zingt ook bij de Los Angeles Voices.
Ja. Los Angeles, The Voices.
The Voices.
Ja, dat is... we zijn er 8 maanden bezig of zo, 9 maanden.
Onder leiding van Gordon.
Ja, en ik weet niet wat ik meemaak. Ik ben pas naar Zuid-Afrika geweest voor een videoclip, voor een fotoshoot. Een paar weken daarvoor zei ik, waarom doen we dat niet daar? Omdat er een nieuwe videoclip geschoten moest worden. Toen zegt Gordon, nou waarom niet? Ik ga het regelen. En zulke dingen maak ik nu constant mee.
Ja.
Dus echt... Dat je denkt, nou, in een aantal jaren ervoor heb ik conservatorium gedaan. In een aantal musicals gespeeld. Op zoek naar Jozef natuurlijk toen.
Sluit alle deuren maar. Doof alle sterren maar. Demp elk geluid en verduister het licht. En ik leid zonder bitterheid.
Er wordt heel veel gezongen in Nederland. We hebben kerkkoren en gospelkoren en operakoren en bachkoren en barberkoren en feestkoren. Waarom zingen Nederlanders zo graag?
Ik denk dat er heel veel positieve dingen zijn in het zingen. Allereerst, ik hoop altijd dat mijn koorleden, als ze binnenkomen en aan het eind van de avond, dat ze anders naar huis gaan dan dat ze binnengekomen zijn. Door het zingen heen beleef je iets samen. Door het zingen heen vallen muren weg. Ik vind dat ook echt een getuigenis. Zoveel gospelkoren in Nederland bestaan uit mensen uit allerlei verschillende kerkelijke achtergronden. En het kan gewoon. En is het natuurlijk gewoon zo dat door het zingen heen... Ja, ik merk gewoon, je gaat iets ervaren van de aanwezigheid van God. En je gaat iets ervaren van zijn liefde, van zijn grootheid. En ja, God kan je hart soms makkelijker raken door een lied dan misschien door woorden of ja, hoe dan ook.
Door welk lied word jij geraakt?
Oh, dat hangt heel erg van het moment af. Dat is een goeie. Ik moet heel eerlijk zeggen, als ik voor mezelf spreek, wat voor mij echt waarde blijft houden zijn toch vaak de wat oudere liederen. Een lied als Groot is uw trouw, o Heer, wordt al zo lang gezongen en toch het blijft voor mij echt een geweldig lied.
Ja.
Ja, en zo kan ik er nog wel heel veel andere noemen.
En als jij nou, Remco, denkt aan zo'n oud gezang, zo'n oud lied, want je bent een jonge vent, wat denk jij dan aan?
It is well with my soul.
Hm. Ja. And peace like a river.
Dat je kan zeggen, het is goed met mijn ziel. Als je zover bent in je leven, dat je volmondig kan zeggen, It Is Well With My Soul. Nou, ik heb echt al regelmatig huilend voor YouTube gezeten dat de Gator Vocal Band dat zong met David Phelps.
Ja.
En die man, ja, je weet het, ik ben heel erg fan van hem. Zo mooi en ingeleefd kan zingen. En dat vind ik zo prachtig. Ik heb opnames gezien vanuit een berg in Israël, dat zij die Gator Vocal Band met heel veel mensen dat aan het zingen waren. Dat is ongelooflijk.
Ja. Het ontroert je, hè?
Ja.
Ja. Het is mooi als je kunt zeggen, het is Well With My Soul.
Ja.
Ja. Dus het gezongen lied, de gezongen woorden, en dat ben ik met je eens, maken soms meer indruk op je dan een hele preek. Eén regel uit een lied.
Ja.
Want hoe motiveer jij, hoeveel koren heb je?
7 en daarnaast nog een heel aantal projecten gedurende het jaar.
Ja.
Dus ik zie heel veel zangers en zangeressen gedurende de week.
Ja, want niet iedereen kan mooi zingen natuurlijk. Hoe laat jij ze mooi zingen?
Nou, als je het met elkaar doet, is dat natuurlijk sowieso al. Kijk, Remco heeft een prachtige solostem. Daar zijn we niet allemaal mee gezegend. Dat
hoor ik ook eens van een ander. Hè?
Maar weet je, als je samen zingt, dan vallen misschien die twijfels een beetje weg. Mijn belangrijkste opdracht is om het koor enthousiast te maken.
Ja.
En ze proberen zover te krijgen dat ze echt met hart en ziel daar staan te zingen. En dat ze niet meer focussen op zozeer op nootjes of op performance. Hoe ziet het eruit? Maar gewoon met alles wat je in je hebt, vanuit je tenen, gaat staan zingen voor God.
Nou, geweldig.
Ja.
Je gaat bijna elke zondag naar je eigen kerk. Word jij ook gevraagd om solo te zingen?
Nou, eigenlijk wel regelmatig. Als er dan bijvoorbeeld een kerst of een paas of een speciale dienst is. Het is ook wel zo dat ik graag naar Hour of Power kijk. Omdat je dan weet, oh, ik kan er even op de bank zitten. En als ik daarvoor tot laat heb gewerkt, dan is het fijn om eventjes niet de deur uit te moeten.
Ja.
Maar ik zing wel regelmatig in de kerk natuurlijk. Ja.
Wat is je droom?
Dat wordt me heel vaak gevraagd.
Je geeft nooit een antwoord, dus nu.
Ik geef wel een antwoord, maar dat is een beetje een grappig antwoord, omdat niemand dat meteen snapt. Mijn antwoord is altijd, ik wil Celine Dion worden. Maar ik wil niet haar worden, natuurlijk. Ik zou het liefst een type zanger als David Phelps bijvoorbeeld, als het zou kunnen om het zo groot te maken, zoals Celine Dion is en bezig is al jaren, dat is mijn droom.
Remco, je gaat zo meteen een lied zingen. Ik heb je gevraagd om dat te doen en je zei, wacht maar af, dat wordt een verrassing. Dus we houden de spanning er nog even in. Maarten, ik weet dat heel veel kijkers ook genieten van de koorzang. Bijvoorbeeld hier vanuit de Crystal Cathedral. Maar heel veel mensen die kijken zijn niet aangesloten bij een kerk, maar willen misschien graag zingen. Wat moet je dan doen?
Ik denk dat die via telefoonboek of internet makkelijk te vinden zijn. Maar daarnaast is de Choir Company, waar ik natuurlijk zelf bij betrokken ben. We hebben echt zangers en zangeressen in ons bestand staan uit heel Nederland. We organiseren regelmatig korte koorprojecten. En dat betekent dan dat je er 3 keer repeteert. Dan een concert geeft en toch helemaal onderdeel bent van zo'n project. Het beleeft. We zetten alle oefenmaterialen online en wat dat betreft zijn er elke keer bij elk project weer een paar honderd zangers en zangeressen die zich aansluiten. Dus kijkers zijn van harte welkom.
Ik heb het een paar jaar geleden meegemaakt in de Rijnhal toen we ons grote kerstconcert
hadden. Geweldig.
Ja. Nou, dat was ook een projectkoor van een paar keer zingen en dan komt er iets geweldigs uit.
Ja.
Mooi zo. Nou, we gaan naar jou Remco voordat ik jullie ga bedanken, want jij gaat ons verrassen met een prachtig lied.
Why should I feel discouraged? And why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home? When Jesus is my portion, a constant friend is he. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. His eye is on the and I know he watches me.
Prachtig. Kun je het even vertellen wat de inhoud is?
Wat de inhoud is, is zelfs kijkt hij naar het kleinste vogeltje op aarde. Dan moet hij ook wel naar mij kijken.
Hé, hey, ja. Nou, prachtige afsluiting. Vrienden, bedankt en bedankt voor jullie enthousiasme. Ik begin met jou. Over een paar weken is het moederdag.
Ja.
En ik weet dat je een moeder hebt die heel erg achter jou staat.
Ja.
En dit is de arend, het symbool van de Crystal Cathedral. Zij die de Heer verwachten met de nieuwe krachten zullen opstijgen als arenden. En wil je die vaas aan je moeder geven?
Graag.
Namens
mooi.
Mij?
Doe ik.
Doe er wel een bos bloemen in, hè?
Ja.
Ja, mooi. Ja, oké. Okay. Goed. En kijkers kunnen straks zien hoe ze ook die vaas aan hun moeder of vrouw kunnen geven.
Ja.
En Maarten, voor jou heb ik twee boeken. Want ja, je moet dromen in je leven. En als je niet droomt, dan heeft het leven ja, nou, geen betekenis. Dat is een beetje overdreven. Maar dromen, dat is fantastisch. Kan jouw droom werkelijkheid worden. En een Bijbelsdagboek.
Heel mooi.
Oké. Okay. Kun je het af en toe eens voorlezen aan je koorleden?
Ja, geweldig. Ja? Zal ik zeker
doen. Ja, dat ga ik nou hoor.
Ja.
Ik heb twee mensen die op jouw koor zitten.
Oké. Okay.
Okay. En wij gaan terug naar de Crystal Cathedral. Thank you.
Wow. Thank you, Ben. Thank you very, very much. One of the most difficult pieces to play on the piano, and she did it perfectly. Piano Concerto No. 2, Third Movement by Rachmaninoff. And thank you, Min Kwong, very much. Well, she has a CD out, and I think we have it in our bookstore, Min Kwong. Oh, we're so honored to have with us today another powerful person who's influenced so many people in America and the world. Been a friend of mine for a couple of decades at least. He is Tony Campalo, Professor Emeritus of Sociology at Eastern University for 10 years. He was on the faculty of the University of Pennsylvania. Wow. He's the founder and president of the Evangelical Association for the Promotion of Education, an organization that develops schools and social programs in various third world countries and in cities across America. He's authored 35 books. Dr. Campalo is married to Peggy. They have 2 children, 4 grandchildren, and I'm so proud that I can claim him as a personal friend. Tony Campalo, welcome him with a great applause.
Thank you. Thank you. In the scriptures we read, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. This is what it's all about, to be people of faith, to be people of hope. But they always ask the obvious question, from whence comes this hope? Where do you get this faith? Is it part of your DNA? Or is it a gift of God? I believe it's a gift of God. And I want to tell you how I access that gift. It's in my prayer life. There are many ways of praying. I make my request known unto God, but the praying of the Christian, the praying of anyone, has to be more than just reading off a list of non-negotiable demands to the Almighty. So often, our prayers are nothing more than wish lists, requests. And that's important, but there's another dimension to prayer, and it's a dimension that I encounter in the early morning. I get up before I have to, and I lie in bed in stillness and wait for the Holy Spirit to invade me, wait for Christ to take possession of me. Your prayers have to go beyond requests. Sometimes I think our prayers are like my boy when he was 7 years old, coming into the living room and saying, I'm going to bed. I'm going to be praying. Anybody want anything? Obviously, it's got to be more than that. And in the morning, I center down on Jesus. There's an old African-American spiritual that goes, woke up this morning with my mind, stayed on Jesus. And I just say his name over and over again and just focus on Jesus. I drive everything else out of my mind. I don't ask God for anything. They asked Mother Teresa once, when you pray, what do you say to God? She said, I don't say anything. I listen. So the interviewer said, all right. When you pray, what does God say to you? She said, God doesn't say anything. God listens. And if you don't understand that, I can't explain it to you. Well, I've got news for you. I do understand it. I do understand that kind of praying where you say nothing and you hear nothing, but in quietude and in stillness, you surrender and you wait for the Holy Spirit, for Christ himself to invade you. It's one thing to believe in Jesus. It's quite another to surrender and allow Jesus to become a living presence, to invite him into your life. It says in Revelation, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone opens, I will come in. I will dwell with that person. And Christ hopes that you will open yourself up and say, Jesus, I not only believe in what you did for me on the cross 2,000 years ago, I want to surrender so that you can become a living presence in my life. Here and now, creating within me hope and faith and have that joy that spirituality is all about. The Spirit of God creates faith. The Holy Spirit creates faith. Jesus entering into us creates faith. I work with young people coming out of Eastern University in St. David's, Pennsylvania. It's a Christian university. And we have deployed so many of our young people to work in third world countries and in cities across the United States. It's important that we recognize that you don't have to go to the third world to go to the third world anymore. Sadly, the third world is right in our own backyard. You can find the third world in your neighborhood if you look for it. And they are working in cities that are really in terrible condition. In one particular city, they started this program where they took some 30 to 35 young people out of high school. We have a summer program that works with thousands of children. But these 30 young people were obviously special, obviously bright, superior in every way. And yet, every one of them was flunking out of school. It's hard to do in some school systems. In this case, they were flunking out of school for the simple reason that they had missed more than half of all the school days the previous school year. None of them could read above a fifth grade level. All of them had come from single-parent homes. None of them was living above the poverty level. We put them in a basement of a church, and volunteers, largely lovely elderly women from suburban communities, came in, and sitting around the table with these African-American young men and young women, they homeschooled them, five to a table. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Nothing is impossible. That's the gospel. That's why they call it the good news, the good news. In my own life, I've had some experiences. We have some work down in Haiti. We have a literacy program down there where we're at any given day working with 50,000 adults, teaching them how to read and write, because that's their ticket to a better life in this most despairing nation. And I go down from time to time to check out the work, to see that things are going well. I got out of the van in Port-au-Prince. I'm walking across the sidewalk to go into the Holiday Inn where I always stay in Port-au-Prince. I was intercepted by three girls. I call them girls because the oldest could not have been more than 17. The one in the middle looked at me and said, "Mister, for $10 you can have me all night long." I was stunned. I turned to the one next to her. I said, "What about you? Do I get you for $10? She nodded. I said to the other one, "What about you?" She tried to smile. But it's hard to look sexy when your mother and father are dead and you've got younger siblings who are on the verge of starvation. It's hard to look sexy. She said, "Yes." I said, "Okay. I'm in room 210. I want you up there in a half hour. I've got $30. I want to hire all three of you for the night." I rushed up to the room. I got on the telephone, called down to the concierge desk. I said, "I want every Walt Disney video you've got. Every one of them. Send them to room 210. Called down to the restaurant. I said, "Banana splits. But I want them extra large. I want whipped cream and lots of nuts and cherries. I want them huge. I want four of them." And the girls came. And the videos came, and the banana splits came, and we sat on the edge of the bed. And until about 1 o'clock in the morning, we watched Disney and laughed together and had a good time. And it was about 1 o'clock when the last of them fell asleep across the bed. And as I sat there in that stuffed chair, I thought to myself, nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. I didn't know enough Creole, their language, to lead them to Christ. And I thought to myself, tomorrow they will be back on the streets selling themselves to dirty, filthy Johns, because there are always dirty, filthy men who for $10 will destroy a little girl. Nothing's changed. But a voice within me said, but for one night. For one night. You let them be children again. For one night. You let them be little girls again. You did what you could. You did what you could. And that's all that God ever asks of any of us, that we do what we can. Are you doing what you can? Have you allowed Christ to come into you and work through you to do the loving and gracious things that God would want to do through you if you just give God the chance? That's why he looks at this congregation and all of you out there in the television audience and say, I want to do great works through you. And because there are so many of you, you will be able to do even more than I was able to do when I was only incarnated in one man, Jesus Christ. To do what you can. They asked Mother Teresa once. They said in the interview, and it was recorded in Time magazine, you're old and you're sick, and it's not long before you're going to die. You've been the one who raised the money. You've been the one who's brought in the recruits to work for the Sisters of Charity. What will happen to this ministry after you're dead? Her answer was brilliant. She answered, it's none of my business. What a good answer. You do what you can, and you leave the results in the hands of Jesus. Amen? Now, people of God, it's been a joy to be with you today. Dr. Schuller, you have lovely people here, and it's a good congregation to preach to, considering it is predominantly white. Nothing against white people. Some of my best friends are white. But white people are hard. You ought to come to my church. It's an African-American church. I belong to the small Baptist church in Philadelphia that closed down, and we moved to the nearest Baptist church, which is Mount Carmel Baptist Church. And it's a wonderful church, and it's easy to preach there. Very easy, because the deacons sit right up front, right underneath the pulpit. Every time you say something good, my deacons yell, preach! Preach, brother, preach! I would have done much better today if I had my deacons here. And the women in my church, when you are delivering the word, I mean, when you have, as my pastor said, gotten down, they'll put one hand in the air and they'll go, well, just like that. Well, doesn't sound like much to you, but you get 50, 60 women going, well, your hormones bubble. And the men in my church, when you are pumping on all cylinders, they'll actually stand up and yell, keep going. Keep going, baby. Keep going. Keep going. I don't get that from white people in the Crystal Cathedral. They don't yell, keep going. Keep going. They yell, stop. Stop. Once a year in our church, we have a preach-off. Now, you folks, for the most part, don't even know what that is. That's when you get about 5, 6, 7 preachers, and you preach back to back to see who's best. You never say that. You say it's for the glory of God. But we know what it's about, and it was my turn. And I don't want to brag, people. I really don't want to brag. I was good. I mean, I knew I was good because the deacons were yelling, preach, and women were going, well, and men were standing up and yelling, keep going, keep going, keep going. And I feed on that stuff. The more they did it, the better I got. The better I got, the more they did it. People, I kept getting better and better and better. I got so good, I wanted to take notes on me. When I finished, that place went ballistic. It went wild. I sat down, my pastor hit my knee, he said, you did all right. You did all right. I said, your next pastor, you're going to be able to top that? He said, son, sit back, because the old man is going to do you in. I don't want to brag, but I was so hot that day, I didn't think that anybody could do me in. People hear me. That sucker got up, and for the next hour, he did me in. He did me in with one line. Over and over again, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. Doesn't sound like much, but you weren't there. He started nice and soft with, it was Friday. It was Friday, and my Jesus was dead on the cross. But that's because it was Friday. Sunday's coming. Somebody yelled, keep going, keep going. That's all he needed. He took off. Friday, people are saying as things have been, so they shall be. You can't change things in this world. But they didn't know it was only Friday. Sunday's coming. See, now I thought I'd get something from this crowd by now. We gotta de-hunketize the Crystal Cathedral. So I'll give you one more shot. It's Friday and they're saying a bunch of middle-class folks in a Crystal Cathedral in Garden Grove cannot impact the community, cannot change things in the world, but I'm here to give you the good news. It's only Friday! Sunday's coming! He went on like that for an hour. By the time he finished, I was exhausted. He just yelled at the top of his lungs. Friday! Without hesitation, that whole congregation yelled back, Sunday's coming! People of God, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You can have it. All you have to do is say, Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me, enter into my life. Christ, I not only believe in you, I'm not only going to be a believer, I'm going to be a disciple. I'm going to be filled with your presence, used by you to bring hope and faith to the rest of the world. And then the world will get the good news. Are you ready? That was pretty weak. I'll give you one more shot. Are you ready?
Yeah.
The good news is it's Friday, but... Thank you, Tony Campello. He's world famous for the sermon that he preached on this morning. It's Friday. Thank you. You'll come back, right?
That's right.
That's terrific. And now the closing benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you and give you peace in your lying down and in your rising up, in your labor and in your leisure, in your laughter and in your tears, until you come to stand before Jesus in that day in which there is no sunset and no dawning. Amen.
dan zit je toch op het puntje van je stoel of lig je toch wel in bed te genieten van deze prachtige preek van Tony Campolo. It's Friday, but Sunday is coming. Weet je, we zijn niet een product van toeval en tijd om ergens geboren te worden en ergens dood te gaan. Nee, we zijn met eeuwigheid in ons hart en in ons leven geschapen. En daarom is Pasen het feest van de opstanding. En met dat geloof kun je bergen verzetten. En daarover hoop ik volgende week met Peter Oosterhuis te praten. Een tijdje geleden werd hij gegijzeld in Afghanistan. En hij werd daar niet goed behandeld. En Nederland hield zijn adem in. Zou hij vrijkomen of zou hij het niet overleven? Dat is gelukkig wel gebeurd. En hij vertelt volgende week hoe zijn vijanden kon vergeven en voor hen kon bidden. Dat volgende week in Hour of Power. Een hele fijne zondag en we hopen tot volgende week.
Dando via dolorosa, called the way of suffering. Like a lamb came the Messiah, Christ the King. But he chose to walk that road out of his love for you and me. Down the via dolorosa, all the way to Calvary. And he came for you and me. Jesus came.